Good evening and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday evening, November 9th, 2008. It is now 8:01 p.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our life, our freedom, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good evening, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio. This evening, we're going to talk about a very disturbing book by Naomi Wolf. It's entitled The End of America, a book that I read actually when I was on vacation. I stopped at a bookstore out in Key West, Florida, and I had some time on my hands, and I needed to read something, and I read the book, and I recently viewed the video that she had on that book, and that was equally disturbing. But before we get into that, I would like to urge all of our listeners to please call in to our program tonight, 646-652-4620, 646-652-4620. Well, of course, you can email us at any time to comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. If you're listening to a rebroadcast, you can also phone in your comments to area code 918-919-0101. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two. Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. He's an economist. He's very, very good, very clear, very concise. And it's truly an educational experience whenever I read his newsletters. He has a free newsletter and one which is a paid subscription, in which he gives individual advice on certain areas of investing and where to place your money. I do urge you to do that and to support Andy. In fact, he will be our guest next Sunday evening here, and he'll be talking about the economic situation that we're in, and he's going to remind us the crisis that we are facing and what maybe we can do about it. I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Hold on one second. I'm going to adjust this a little bit here. Okay, here we go. Okay, that's a little bit better. I can hear myself. When I can hear myself speak, I know it's coming through the microphone. That makes me feel a little bit better. Good evening, folks. I do have an email here from my friend Tom from Chile, and he says, "Where is Joe McCarthy when you need him? We have communists running the country. This gal Pelosi should be burned at the stake. So now the government is going to build cars." And he... he attaches an article published on November 8th. Pelosi and Reid urge aid for U.S. automakers. It says the Democratic leaders in Congress urged the Bush administration on Saturday to consider using the $700 billion bailout for the financial system to aid distressed American automakers in a prelude to what may become urgent negotiations over additional economic stimulus measures. And he's absolutely right. We are going to be in the auto business. You see, folks, this is the way it goes. And I think this is where Naomi Wolf is also guiding us, in that we have a government that slowly but surely gets more and more involved, not only in our daily lives, our corporate lives, but also our daily life. She's going to talk more about the daily lives. I'm going to talk a little bit about the corporate life. Here we are. The government is getting more and more involved, more attached to our financial system. Of course, it's already owns, sort of owns our monetary system, which it shouldn't do at all. That should be private as well. And they want to, they will eventually start owning all the major corporations and pulling on the strings there. You see, Mussolini did this in Italy, and eventually, you know, the corporations and the government, the line between the two became very blurry, right? And they became one big mega organization. And they ruled the country, they destroyed the country. And of course, whatever Mussolini said went, and that was the way it went. And guess what? During the Bush administration, whatever Bush wanted, he got, right? Didn't he? He actually snubbed Congress when Congress says, "I'm sorry, you can't do that, Mr. President. It's unconstitutional. We're not going to let you do it." He went, and he said he did it anyway. You know. And the thing is, where I criticize Congress is they didn't do anything about it. They said, "Hey, you overstepped your boundaries. You're impeached. Your history. Goodbye." And they didn't do it. So all of you Democrats, all of you social Democrats out there, all of you progressives, all of you left-wing people, whatever you want to call yourselves, you know, who are just die-hard Democrats and would live and die for the Democratic Party, you tell me where the heck those Democrats were in impeaching Bush. When he overstepped his boundaries, where were they? And when they had a majority in Congress, they still did absolutely nothing. Just think about that. I really get angry at that, as you can tell. Okay. Now, here is an interesting... I got to read this to you. This has to do with financial stuff, but I have to read this to you because I don't think people are aware of the danger that we are facing. I mean, we are facing financial Armageddon. And I know you say, "Oh, dude, I'm not a doom and gloomer." Well, I am a doom and gloomer. At this point in time, please officially tag me as a doom and gloomer, all right? Doom and good D&G. I'm a D&G-er, I guess. Folks, we're not looking at this realistically at all. And let me read this to you. This is by Stephen Perkins. He's a publisher of the Leibs Economic Performance Letter. He said, "In the decade ahead, we will come to face some of the most monumental industrial and economic challenges we have ever encountered, including a global energy crisis, commodity crunches, a Social Security fiasco, and possible Medicare meltdown, not to mention the ominous consequences of a prolonged period of gluttonous consumption, military imperialism, and fiscal recklessness. Factors that have led to record levels of corporate, public, and private debt." And, I mean, that is so well said. No one could argue that. There is no way that we are going to get out of this short of redefining our entire role and bringing us back to a libertarian form of government. That means no foreign entanglements. That means no social programs and everything done at the local level. You know, men, when I say men, I mean people, human beings, are the ones that control everything. They're the ones that can fix things. They make mistakes, but they're the ones that can fix things very easily, right? And they're the only people themselves are the only ones who can do for others. And yet today, we don't look at things that way. We say, well, people are basically flawed, so we have to go to government to ensure things are done right. When people aren't flawed, people just make mistakes. It's the government system that is flawed that we're looking towards. It's so important for us to wake up, to absolutely wake up and say, let's not do this anymore. If we look at history, if we look at 4,000 years of history, every single civilization that relied on government wound up dead in their tracks. The civilization starved, they were mangled, maimed, you name it, they starved to death, everything. They never made it when they relied on government itself. And that's exactly what we're doing. We are looking at a failed model, and we're saying, let's repeat this failed model. Folks, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. It's Sunday evening. I hope someone would call in this evening at 646-652-4620. 646-652-4620. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about, not a little bit, probably about a half hour, about the Naomi Wolf's book, The End of America. You know, Naomi says that when, at one time, when she was younger, she always felt very secure here in America because there were documents. There was the Constitution. There was the Bill of Rights. There was the, you know, which is part of the Constitution, you know, the Declaration of Independence, all these things that she learned about. And they gave her a sense of security. That was her protection. And she always felt that way. Until she learned, and someone forced her to learn, actually, forced her to start reading about what happened overseas and how there is a blueprint for fascism that's taking over the country. The government's taking over the country. And it's a system that's been used for not decades, but thousands, hundreds of years by all dictators. They know exactly how to do it. And this is a book. There's a handbook on how to do this. And we are following it exactly. And he goes through her book and says that there are disturbing warning signs that we are past the 11th hour and it's time for us to stop talking and start acting. She wrote the book because she saw these changes in America. And these are not very subtle changes. They weren't subtle at all. In fact, they were monumental changes. We had a president who's, you know, gladly he's out of office now, who abused the rights of the presidency. We had a Congress that allowed him to do that. And they were just fearful. They were placed in a position of saying, well, if I don't agree with the president, I'll be tagged as a terrorist. And maybe I'll go to jail and be tortured. And that's not far-fetched at all. Not far-fetched at all. There was a book, in fact, a DVD, and I guess there's a book also. It was called Freedom to Fascism. And I think it was Alan Russo's DVD, Freedom to Fascism, which I really recommend everyone see. It really is frightening. But the thing is, the reason why it is so frightening is because it's we can identify with it so easily. You know, if this was 50 years ago and we were watching movies about Adolf Hitler and Mussolini and how they got in power, we would say to ourselves, this couldn't happen here. You know, look at those people. Why did they let it happen? You know, they were free countries. Do you know, the people were free in Germany and Italy. They're just like we were. They had, you know, rights and the court system and everything that we had. And yet the people allowed these dictators to get into office. And what happened to Italy? And what happened to Germany? You know, they got defeated in the war, and their nations were totally destroyed. They both try to build empires. And we are following that prescription to a T. Not only are we are following that prescription, but we are also internally changing to become what they became. And she goes on, and I'll go through the whole thing. It's important to know that when you read this book, you have to understand that none of this is possible without people that you know, your neighbors, your neighbor's son, you know, who may be a policeman or in the army, who is the one that may be arresting you. Think about that. I mean, I want you to really think about that. You know, that when someone goes in the army, they no longer pledge allegiance to the Constitution anymore. They only pledge allegiance, you know, to their commanding officer, to their orders. In other words, they pledge that they will fulfill their orders. They no longer pledge allegiance to the country. This is all these small, subtle changes that are being made. And you have this nice kid, Johnny, who's been on the block, and you may have babysat him and the whole bit. And that very, very same child grows up, and when he's 18 years old or 17, he goes into the army, you know, and for some reason, someone tags you as a dissident because you say something negative about the government. And Johnny comes up to your doorsteps, you know, with a high-powered rifle, you know, his uniform and several other people, and takes you to jail and puts you in solitary confinement, you know, bypasses habeas corpus. You know, these are not strangers, folks. You have to understand, these are not strangers. But they're people who have been fooled into thinking that they're really supporting America. They are part of the military that is to save America from all these bad people. You know, you have to think that these are your neighbor's sons. They may be your son or your daughter. Just think of that. I mean, it may be your son or daughter who goes out and arrests you for being an enemy combatant because they don't like what you said or what organization you belong to. Now, understand, these are not foreigners doing this. These are our own flesh and blood doing it to us. That is the frightening part. We don't look at it that way. We always say, oh, that happened someplace else. Well, that happened in another town. That was a mistake. That's foreign. I don't identify. You better identify with it. Folk, my name is Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Our call-in number is 646-652-4620. 652-4620. Please do call in with your questions and comments. You know, in Nazi Germany, they used to remove the soldiers from the dead soldiers from the battlefield at night, so no one would say it. And we do the same thing here. The soldiers that are killed in Iraq, they're all brought here under a cloak of darkness. You know, I mean, everything is held. You know, we're doing everything the same way. We're keeping everything confidential. But understand, folks, these are not foreigners that are doing it. These are our own sons and daughters that are doing this. I mean, this is the shame. These are the people that grew up in our neighborhoods that applied for jobs in government. And they swore a allegiance to that group of people within the government against the people of the United States, against their own families and friends. I can't be saying that. It's too wrong. It can't happen. It's ridiculous. What am I saying? I gotta be insane. But I know this is what's happening. I know that these young boys who are going in and thinking they're doing something, they're being patriotic, they're being soldiers, but they're going in and then they're turning around and they're being redeployed here in America to keep squell civil disobedience. In other words, dissidents. Under the Constitution, this is what we have a right to. And yet our own people, these are not foreign soldiers, folks. And this is what our forefathers said, we need local militias. Local mission means militias are you and I, not standing armies. And this is why the National Guard reports to the governors of the sovereign state of each state, the state which is sovereign. Because as a check on the abuse of a centralized government. Folks, this is horrible. This is terrible. And what, Dick Cheney now has all of the National Guards reporting directly to him? Anyway, I'd like to go through some of the, maybe we can go through all 10 of these steps, you know, to a fascist state. And let's see, where do we start? The first step is, she says, they invoke internal and external debt, the threats. In other words, the government instills fear. They talk about the war on terror. They develop a Department of Homeland Security. They have these things as, you know, red, yellow alert. You know, this means nothing to us. Homeland Security should be homeland. It should be domestic security. Homeland was a term used by the Nazi Germans. Now they have justifications, and when they enacted these, they forced Congress's hand overnight, and no congressman wanted to say, no, we can't do this, because they didn't want to seem to be unpatriotic, or they wanted to seem like they were part of the terrorist group. And they wanted to seem to tell their people, well, we're, you know, here to protect you. And what that does is it allows them to open your mail, listen to your phone calls, wiretapping, electronic wiretapping, look at your medical records, your bank records, your credit card statements, even your library books that you check out. Could you imagine if you're doing research on Iran? They can construe that as being someone who's aligned with the Iranian government, and they can arrest you and detain you and put you in solitary confinement without any trial, without any due process, nothing, without any warrant or probable cause. I mean, just think about that. And you know what? I always wondered what the USA Patriarch stood for. And this is what it stands for. It means USA stands for Uniting and Strengthening, U.S., America, USA, by providing appropriate tools required to intercept and obstruct terrorism. And that spells Patriot. Providing appropriate tools required to intercept and obstruct terrorism. It was enacted in 2001, and it opened the door to unbelievable amount of government abuse. Now, you know everything that's happened. I'm not going to reiterate that. But the Patriot Act is so large. I mean, it's pages and pages and pages, hundreds of pages long, and it refers to other documents. It would take someone years to unravel it, and they probably couldn't interpret it if they tried. But basically, it allows the government to do whatever they want to do to whomever they want to, you know, under the guise of fighting the war on terror. The second one is secret prisons where torture takes place. The Geneva Convention does not permit any form of torture, and we have agreed to a Geneva Convention. George Bush threw that out the window. On military order one, the president can pick up and interrogate anyone for any reason, and if he decides that this person might be involved in terrorism, and categorize a person as an enemy combatant, throw him in jail forever, and we'll never see that person again. That person can be perfectly innocent. And many of these people are. In fact, most, if not all of them, are. All civil rights are then swept aside. There used to be 16 allowable methods of interrogation. Our government has expanded that to 35. And many of those constitute torture. The Constitution forbids cruel and unusual punishment. What was happening in Guantanamo Bay prison was cruel and unusual punishment, no matter which way you cut it. Call it torture, not torture, call it interrogation. It was cruel and unusual punishment. Once again, we discarded the Constitution. We keep on discarding the Constitution. Oh, here we have a call. Yes, caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Your first name and where you're calling from?
My name is Dave. I'm in Tulsa.
Oh, Dave from Tulsa. Thank you for calling in. What is your question or comment?
Well, my comment is, you know, it's interesting how you've been going back to talking about our constitutional rights and civil liberties. I heard a quote from an old speech JFK gave about Athenian law and how citizens back then, it was decreed a crime for anyone to shrink from controversy. And I find it very interesting. In today's time, we have so much secrecy and so many of our public officials shrinking from controversy and hiding. I was wondering what your comments would be on that.
Now, your phone broke up just very slightly. Could you repeat the first part of your comment, please, again?
Well, I was making a comment regarding how in current society here in America, our constitutional rights and civil liberties, we're obviously losing them, and we have more so with the Bush administration.
Yeah.
And I saw a clip or an audio file on an old speech JFK gave on Athenian law and how back in Greek law, citizens, it was decreed a crime to shrink from controversy, and how we see it's just rampant now with our public officials.
You know, that's an interesting comment because, in my opinion, the American public has shrunk from controversy. My wife has been saying now for the past few years, probably several years, we have lost the ability to converse. People only want to talk about things that are very safe. For example, if we get together at someone's house, people will talk about their lawn, the weather. I mean, frivolous, silly things that mean nothing. As soon as someone brings up something serious or something which requires some critical thinking, people shy away from it. I don't think it's our Congress. I don't think it's any one person or group in particular. I think it's our entire country. We have lost the ability to think rationally for some reason. And I blame this, if we want to go back, I blame this on our public school system, in the what is taught when we're very, very young, and what Pat Buchanan refers to as comic book history. And we don't teach the Constitution. We don't teach people, teach our students to converse. Only the nerds in school would join the debating club. And there's only a few kids in the entire school, two or three kids would get involved in the debating club and no one else. And they were always considered an outcast if you ever did that. You know what? You're so right. I can't get my handle around it. I can't tell you how many times I've been some places and I've asked people questions about what they're doing and what's going on or, you know, what their feelings about something. And the type of response that I receive is something like, I don't want to talk about that. I'm here just to enjoy myself and just get away from it all. In other words, no one wants to talk about it. Everyone's afraid. And when people are confronted with an issue, they default to a belief system. For example, their belief system may be all Republicans are bad and all Democrats are good, or vice versa, whatever it is. And they default to that without wanting to speak about it. I think this is what you see this during the election when we have the debates. What kind of stupid questions they ask these guys, and of course they're all rigged, and you can see easily that they're all rigged for the top contenders.
Definitely.
I mean, it's and I've done several programs on this where we've analyzed the actual format of debates. I said, isn't it interesting that we had, I forgot how many debates, 13 debates on several different channels, on private on public channels cable channels and network channels and whatever, and all of the people are standing in exactly the same place. In other words, Mike Gravel never got center stage. Ron Paul never got center stage. And isn't it strange that just statistically impossible that if they were working at random and independently, that they were, the probability of them all winding up in the same place on every one of the debates is zero. I mean, it's like a 20 trillion to one. But I'm just saying it's rigged. The whole thing is rigged, and this is all part of what I'm talking about now. We no longer have a media that is critical of government. We don't have our stations that are critical of government because they'll go to jail. They'll lose their funding. They'll lose their contracts. And now the citizenry seems to be in the same place. They don't want to talk about right. things like this. I was on a bike ride once, and I was a big bike ride, you know, and there was a bunch of people. We sat for lunch, and I asked a couple of questions of people. I don't even remember what the question was, and I never forget the response. I got to go, oh, we're on vacation. We don't want to talk about that stuff now, you know. Oh, we're just here to have fun, you know, and people are mindless, it seems. I don't know where that comes from.
Yeah,
Dave, I'm sorry.
It seems like it's a counterculture movement.
Yeah,
you know? And that's the way people see it. And it's against their belief system in every respect. And it's unfortunate, but it's going to take grassroots movements to really bring the truth about throughout this society and throughout the world, for that matter.
I agree. In my neighborhood, I've been here 34 years. And so I know many people in this neighborhood, but most of them have moved out and new people moved in. I really don't know who they are. But I'll be honest with you. I have very little in common with these people who are my age. And I can't figure it out. I mean, they're very nice. For 34 years, they come out, they wave hello, they smile, but they talk about nothing. I identify a lot more, and most of my friends are 30 years younger than I am. I mean, it's strange. I'm like an old man, a bunch of kids. But, I mean, I identify them because they think. I mean, they're the ones that are, you know, dissidents. They're saying, hey, there's something wrong here. I mean, they're not holding on to these stupid belief systems that make absolutely no sense. And at least we can talk about different things. And we can help each other out because my experiences, they don't have, you know. And I don't have the youth and energy anymore. So, I mean, it works out very well. But I have very, very few friends who are my age only because I don't identify with them at all. I was walking around my neighborhood just the other day, and there's this guy who's I always see walking around, and his name is Dwayne. I'll be honest with you. I'll give his name on the air. And hello, hello, hello. And I said, I never say anything to him. So as I was walking the dog one morning, I said, hey, you know, and that the previous day the stock market plunged, I think, 700 points or something. I said, what do you think about what's going on with the stock market? And his response was, oh, I don't follow that. I don't do any of that. I'm retired. I can't even talk about it. He went on and on. I said, thank you very much. Good morning. Have a nice day. We left. And I said, that's the end of the conversation I'll ever have with him. I mean, no one ever wants to talk about anything, it seems. And if people don't want to talk, now if you were in office and you knew this, I mean, you know, you have to be astute as to who your customer is, and you knew that generally speaking, your constituents were ignorant and really didn't want to feel uncomfortable. Would you talk about this? No, you would talk about all the stupid things that they talk about, make them feel comfortable and cozy.
Right.
And I guess that's the answer. I don't know. I really wish I knew the answer to that. It drives me nuts because I have this radio station. Of course, it's a tremendous amount of work. And sometimes I think I'm talking to a wall. And that's why I particularly appreciate if you will send me your email address to comments at libertytalkradio.com, if you would send me your mailing address, I'll send you either a Liberty Talk Radio mug, or if I have a T-shirt your size left over, I'll send you a T-shirt. How about that for calling in?
Sure thing.
Okay, I appreciate it. And thank
you, sir.
Thank you for calling in. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye.
That was a welcome call. Thank you very much. Anyway, she goes on. We have the 2006, we had the Military Commissions Act. And that expanded the definition of enemy combatant, no right to habeas corpus. They set up military commissions courts. That was modeled after Hitler's People's Courts. She goes on, she says that the next step is developing a paramilitary force. Does Blackwater sound familiar to you? They're not directed by the people of the United States. They have responsibility to no one. In fact, they're operating in the United States now. They're going to be
securing our borders. They have, what do you call, not bases, but they have training camps now in California. There's some states that are protesting against them because they don't even want them associated with their states. They're opening training facilities all over the United States, and they're doing that. So the government's going to hire them to monitor protesting. Just think of that. Just absolutely think of it. The next step is surveillance of ordinary citizens. And you heard of FISA, F-I-S-A, that's the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. And basically, this starts really closing down society. People spying on people, actually. Now, remember, all these acts, everything has to be executed by people in government. These people in government are your neighbors. They're not foreigners. They're not people from, you know, some communist country. They're your neighbors who have jobs. They're going to be doing this. This is the part that we need to wake up to. And this is why people don't want to talk about it. They're afraid their neighbor is spying on them. And if they say the wrong thing, see, this is how it creeps into your mind. Well, you know, she works for the government. I wonder if she'll report me and blah, blah, blah. So all of a sudden you keep your mouth shut. It doesn't take much, folks, you know. I have friends who can't get on airplanes because their name is the same. Not, it's not them, but it's the same name as somebody else who is considered an enemy combatant. Most likely that person is perfectly innocent. And he said, you don't have to do anything wrong. The government just has to say you've done something wrong. Naomi Wolf herself is considered a triple S or quadruple S on her all her airline tickets. And that's a high security threat. She gets stopped, searched, and everything. Every place she goes, it's terrible. And this is the same thing they did. In Nazi Germany, they had the list. Remember the list? And then when it came time to round everyone up, the first people they round up were the people on the list. Well, we have 1 million people on the list now, and it grows like 25,000 a month or something like that. And the list is the people on the list are famous people, outspoken citizens, journalist, David Anton, he was a soldier. I mean, he's a soldier, a decorated soldier, and he wrote a book about Vietnam. His entire family's under constant surveillance now. And when he talks about it, he actually cries. And this man's a brave person. He sits down and he cries over this. You know, the fifth step is infiltrate citizens groups, you know. And this is where the New York City police, and this is what I understand, the police should be saying, no, we're not going to do this. You know, they sit on anti-war, when there's an anti-war rally or meeting, the police will send members of the police department in there to spy on everyone. Now, folks, these are not foreigners. These are your sons and daughters doing this. You should take your sons and your daughter, bring them home, and give them a beating for this. You know? And it's all this counterintelligence programs, you know, and this stuff just starts playing on your mind, and it preys on your mind. The next step is to detain and release ordinary citizens. Well, we know that they're doing that. People are being thrown in prison for absolutely no reason at all, only because George Bush, is saying that these people are threats to society, and it's his job to make sure people are safe. And the Constitution is only a piece of paper anyway. You know? And then number seven, she says, they target key individuals. Goebbels was very good at this. I mean, he knew how to do this. You know, the Dixie Chicks, you know, were vilified for saying that they wish Bush wasn't from Texas. And people were, let's say, burning CDs. You can't burn a CD because they don't burn. But, you know, destroying CDs and everything like that. And some other, basically, they were ruined after that. And only because they thought that was a subversive act. Dan Rather, same thing with him. You know, when he criticized the Bush administration, they drove him right off the air. The next part was the restrict the press. Well, folks, we've done programs on that. And that is not only restricting the press, but manipulating the press. The press is owned by the government. And that's why if you're listening to ABC, CBS, you know, all those things, You're listening to Pravda, you know, the government news program. I mean, it's the same thing. It's totally controlled by the government. You know, I gave the example to our caller saying that during the debates, you know, the ones that people, the government has chosen to be in the runoffs always got center spot because everybody else was a dissident. You know, the Ron Pauls and the Mike Ravels, they were dissidents. And they weren't going to get any airtime at all. And Sean Hannity should be really proud of himself for that. The restriction of the press, that's big time, really big time. Bill Keller's article about monitoring financial transactions in the New York Times, he got canned. It was called Classified Data, and he was going to be prosecuted on espionage. He was a reporter. He didn't do anything wrong. That's his job, you know. And people in the government were actually asking for his execution. But what they start doing is they start talking about treason and espionage and execution. And after a while, you think this person is the worst person in the world when this person was doing a service to our country. There's the 1917 Espionage Act, which is very interesting. I didn't know this. This was an act in World War One, in other words, citizens could not criticize the war. If they did, they were considered basically enemy combatants and thrown in jail. This allowed the states to round up ordinary citizens without warrants. And there's a story of Eugene Debs. He was a presidential candidate, and he spoke on the rights of the First Amendment. The government didn't like that, and he was thrown in jail. The guy was running for president of the United States. And we all know that thing with Bill al-Hussein. He was a photographer in Iraq, and they didn't like about what he talked about, the pictures he took and he showed, and his life was absolutely ruined. The ninth step was to recast criticism as espionage and dissidents as treason. In other words, all these words that they use, they manipulate words. They say, well, you can't do this, you can't do that, you know, and then they start injecting words like treason. You know, talking about, you know, the news does this very well. After a while, you believe what they say because they just keep on repeating it. There was laws criminalizing free speech. There was actually a proposed House of Representatives legislation, 1955, which literally criminalized free speech. So far, it hasn't gone through. And in 2008, in the Republican National Convention of St. Paul, 400 citizens were arrested for protesting. Dozens of reporters were pressing, including, you know, Amy Goodman from Democracy Now. Really bad people, obviously, you know. Protesters were charged with terrorism. Loosely worded, anything is criminal. You have to say it. Loosely worded, everything is criminal. And the tenth step before we go off the air was to subvert the rule of law. In other words, Italy ignored Parliament and George Bush ignored our Congress. And our Congress never did anything, never stepped up to the plate and said, "You're toast, guy. You know, you don't tell Congress what to do. You're out." And they never did that. I can go on and on and on. Well, we're out of time, actually. This is only a 45-minute broadcast. I just wanted... You really should read the book, The End of America by Naomi Wolf. It's a very difficult book to read because it's so negative, but it's so true. She's written several books. She tours all over the United States giving lectures, and she's a very, very persuasive speaker. Okay, next Thursday will be, Thursday morning will be our next live broadcast. We hope that you will join us at that time. And I'm not sure what our comments are going to be. But this is the end of tonight's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated. Your life is in your own hands. But with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government is like training wheels. you now have a control ride that isn't any more fun. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, "Don't steal. The government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.